Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good morning. Welcome. It's wonderful to welcome you this morning to Rosedale United Church, and welcome to those who are joining us online. I wonder if we can just quickly look back at Celine and our camera and say good morning to those folks. Welcome. It's wonderful to see you here this morning. It's wonderful to be together, to be a community together. For those who I haven't met, my name is Kristen, and I'm the Minister for Worship and Spiritual Care here at Rosedale United. And with me in leadership is our Music Director, Dr. Sarah Svensson, and our Organ Scholar, Oscar Hodgsons, and our choir is among you. You've waved to Celine. Ben is on our sound, and we also have with us today our licensed lay leadership program trainee, otherwise known to you as Mary Annabelle. So Mariana is joining in worship leadership this morning. She has been training over two years with the United Church of Canada to become a licensed lay worship leader. And so we're very grateful that she joins us in this capacity this morning as well. Okay, so lots going on in our community. We are proud to be an affirming congregation. We are committed to supporting human flourishing here in our neighborhood and in our city. And what that has looked like this weekend, as I know you all know, and if you didn't, you got the visual cues of sort of a changed space as you came in. We've had our Holly Berry Fair this weekend. All of the proceeds go to support human flourishing. They go directly to the Out of the Cold program that operates out of St. Luke's United Church. And it is still going on today. So if you haven't been Holly Berry Fair'd yet, you can do that this afternoon. It is going on after the service. You can get food, you can browse books, you can browse thrift, and then our vendors get open for a second day starting at noon. So we do hope that you will check all of that out. It's been wonderful so far. I'm wondering if we can give a big round of applause to Diane and Marilyn, who have been organizing this, and all of the committee chairs who did so much work yesterday. A round of applause for them. It's been really, really fun. And as I look out at all of you, like so many of you were volunteering as well. I hope you got to put your feet up yesterday afternoon. Some other stuff going on in our congregation. Next Monday, December the 1st, we are gathering in this sanctuary, 7 p.m., for our annual Advent by Candlelight for Women service. It's a time to embrace the feminine aspect of the Christmas story. And we do invite you to attend and bring a friend or bring a neighbor. Sheila, can you just say hi? Sheila will be downstairs in the basement, which is where you can get coffee, tea, and refreshments after the service today, and she'll be signing folks up for that. I do encourage you. It's a lovely evening. Warm coats. We're continuing to collect warm coats for our annual warm coat drive. There's a little booth out here that Lori is going to be sitting at after the service. If you don't have a physical coat to donate, that is fine. You are invited to make a donation to the effort if you like. And our organizer, Susie Sabapathy, is hoping to purchase a whole bunch of coats on Black Friday, when Black Friday comes up, which I think is this coming Friday. So if you do want to make a donation, you can do that after church as well with Lori, and she can help you with that. Another thing to flag is Our Christmas Carol concert is coming up. That's on Tuesday, December 9th, right here. Again, another great bring a friend, bring a neighbor event. Our choir will be joined by the Metropolitan Silver Band. It's always just a wonderful way to get into the Christmas season. You are encouraged to wear your festive sweaters. Ugly, if you call them ugly, you know, whatever, it's fine. We hope you'll join that. And also for those who can't get enough carol singing during the service, every week during Advent, before church starts, we're just going to do a Christmas carol sing-along for like 10 minutes or so. Oscar's going to lead it. And so if you want to sing before church starts, then we'll do that too. Okay, I'd like to call on Jamie, who has our stewardship announcement for today.
As some of you know, I've had the privilege of volunteering for the Center for Addiction and Mental Health for over 25 years. Among the many things I've learned is the tremendous importance of community to one's mental health. Patsy and I support Rosedale United, as we believe is a very important part of our community. We are glad to support the great work of Kristen, Sarah, Lori, and all the volunteers, particularly this weekend, that make it thrive and give us courage. So thank you for your past support, and I hope you will be able to contribute again in a way that is meaningful to you for this year. It's very important. Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. The beautiful flowers that are placed in our sanctuary this morning are in loving memory of Graeme Reece on the first anniversary of his passing. And so, Robin, we are holding you in our hearts this morning and sending you love and comfort. Friends, I invite us to stand together as we call ourselves to worship. Stand in body or spirit, whatever's comfortable to you. Another year passes. Things end and things begin. Birth, life, death, life beyond death. Nothing is constant. Everything changes. Everything except this. God's love is with me. God's love is with you. God's love is with all creation. Today, yesterday, today, forever. And all creation is held safe in that love. And all creation is held safe in that love. Let us worship the God who loves us yesterday, today, and forever. We sing, crown him with many crowns.
Thank you.
Friends, the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
And we turn now to extend that same peace to our friends and neighbors, especially greet someone if you haven't met them.
Peace.
Peace, Mariana. Peace be with you.
And also with you, mother of three.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to go move down to my prayer zone.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I like doing the prayers down there too.
Yeah. Okay. I light our Christ candle this morning, a sign and a reminder always of Christ's presence with us whenever two or three are gathered, whenever we form this community together. Christ is here. And I want to invite us now into a moment of silence as we quiet our hearts and open our minds in prayer. God of tender mercy, we thank you. We live in difficult times. There are moments when your kingdom seems to be far away. Many of us face struggles in our lives and need what your kingdom promises. Yet in this time of prayer, you are close to us. Your presence touches us and invites us to have hope. Hope grounded in the wonder of being loved by you. We open our hearts this morning, saying the words that your Jesus taught to us. O loving parent, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Opening our theme this morning, this Sunday is the last Sunday in the Christian church year. I don't know if you all know this, but the Christian church calendar is different than our regular Roman calendar. So our new year begins next Sunday with the first Sunday in Advent. It's when we start our cycle of storytelling again with the birth of Jesus and anticipating that in our lives. And we go through until we reach this Sunday, which is the end of the year. And it's called Reign of Christ Sunday or Christ the King Sunday. And it's a day when we think about the power of Christ in our lives. And so my question for you to contemplate this morning, and it is just for you and your own heart, is how would others know that Jesus, that the Christ, is a meaningful power in your life? How would your friends, how would your neighbors, how would your family members know that Christ, that Jesus is a meaningful power in your life? How would you let them know this? Not in any words. That's my question to you. I invite you into this time of contemplation as Sarah plays.
A reading from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, verses 1 through 6. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people, it is you have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doings, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall no longer fear or be dismayed, nor shall anything be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and we shall reign. And he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. This is the witness of the Hebrew scriptures. In these ancient words, may we find wisdom for living today. A reading from the Gospel of Luke. Chapter 23, verses 33 to 44. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing, and the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear gods? You are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the witness of the early church. May these words comfort us, challenge us, and inspire us.
Friends, we respond in song, and you're invited to stand and sing, "Seek ye first the kingdom." We open our hearts wide to the community among us, and also carrying into this time of prayers of the community all the people and places that are on our hearts this morning. Let us pray. Holy God, we give you thanks for the many blessings we have received, for the beauty of this fall day, and the warm shelters we have to return to, for family and friends who truly love us and who keep us grounded and surrounded, for this community, we give thanks. Help us, giver of all good things, to receive good news. We are at a doorway, and we are not alone. You have invited us to step over the threshold into a new year, to gather courage, to embrace new possibilities and pathways. There are so many places in the world that need your healing, loving God. May we experience others through new ways of perceiving and learn how to mend wounds and divides between people. God of comfort and compassion, may your healing and hope be present with all in our community and in our hearts and around our world who feel ill in body, mind, or spirit, all in hospital and care facilities, all who are awaiting test results or facing a new uncertain diagnosis, all who need your inspiration and encouragement. Creator God, your Spirit has led us to be Christ's church, to be Christ's heart and hands and feet in the world. We know that your Holy Spirit can breathe new life and can do infinitely more in us than we can ever ask or imagine. And so we pray for this Spirit to be in us and with us, so that we know that we are not alone, and so that we can also comfort others and help them to know that they are not alone as well. All this in gratitude, we pray. Amen. And I invite you to join with me in our response. We offer now the work of our hands and the love of our hearts, the gifts of God as a blessing for the world. And so in this moment, you're invited to continue this time of prayer. There are candle stations around the sanctuary, and if you'd like to light a candle in honor of a person or place this morning, or perhaps an intention that you're holding on your heart, you're invited to do so. We normally have an offering box at the back, and in the Holly Berry Fair setup, I'm not sure where that box has gone to. Ben has it. Oh, great. Okay, so Ben will put it at the back. And if you are moved in this time to make an offering to the life and work and support of this community, we encourage that as well. This is also a time where you can regroup and just settle and listen to Sarah's wonderful music. So the time is yours.
Thank you. Good morning. And I'd like to thank you for giving me this opportunity to practice my preaching. I will be finished the course at the end of May next year. I had to take some time off because I had brain surgery, and that's a pretty good excuse for not going to school. And I'd like to thank the choir for that beautiful piece. It's a really stunning and emotional piece for me, and I just want to say how proud I am to sing with you guys on Sundays. Let us pray. Now, Lord, take my lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for yourself, Lord Jesus. Amen. As Kristen said earlier, today is Christ the King Sunday, sometimes referred to as the Reign of Christ. Unlike other notable Sundays, which have been on the church's calendar for centuries, Christ the King Sunday has been celebrated for exactly 100 years. It was created by Pope Pius XI in 1925 to remind people that Jesus is a king of all Christians, following turbulent years of war, the Boer War, the Crimean War, and World War I, and the collapse of four major royal dynasties in Europe. It was clear at that time that the kings and earthly rulers, especially those in Europe, seemed to represent greed, corruption, and cruelty. There was an absence of the values that the gospel teaches us. So the church wanted to remind itself that there was a higher power than the earthly powers that dominated their daily living and dying. So why has the church given Jesus the title of King? This title was given to Jesus to show his power in the world, but we must remember his power is not worldly power. In John chapter 18, he says, "My kingdom is not from this world. I came into the world to testify to the truth." King is a title that was understood by most people. This desire for a king goes back to the time of the Israelites. There was a need for unity among the tribes of Israel, so they asked God for a king, as other nations had kings. Through Samuel, God warned about the dangers of kingly power. The Israelites and following generations have seen these dangers come to fruition. The truth is that God is the overall ruler, and everyone has a place in this world, is loved, and is important. Loved and important. This leads us to the idea of kingdom. We talk a lot about the kingdom of God, but what is it that we are talking about? This kingdom is not about heaven. It is about God's kingdom coming and already here. It is about a transformed world, a radical makeover of society. So where do we see God's kingdom today? We are called to be partners in building God's kingdom on earth. Jesus showed us the way to do this. This is not easy, and some may say it is impossible, but we must believe that it can be achieved a bit at a time. Otherwise, we might just give up. So where do we see God's kingdom? We see it in our worship here and in our partnerships, including our partnership with St. Luke's, places where songs and prayers, talking and thinking, the companionship of those around us, mutual sharing of food and companionship, these all allow us to know God. We see it when we commit ourselves to one another, to a way of living, honoring our neighbors, being generous in our service and loving in our attitude, like when you visit someone who needs some company or offer help to someone in need. We see it when words of hope are celebrated and words of judgment are challenged, when we dare to challenge the status quo and speak the truth to power, when newspapers print the story of the underdog and the fight for justice. We see God in all those things. We see it when children are valued and celebrated. We see it when older people are encircled, comforted, and cared for. We see it when sorrow is permitted and people are surrounded by caring friends. We see it when tears are allowed to find their way to the surface and it is safe. We see it when people are loved for who they are and for who they may become. We see it when people engage in living lives of careless generosity and giving of themselves, caring for the environment and all the earth's creatures, and becoming skilled at turning the other cheek, taking a deep breath, and resisting the urge to put yourself ahead of others. In all these ways, and many others, we see glimpses of the kingdom, and progress is being made. Christ the King's Sunday marks the end of the liturgical year, before Advent takes over and the cycle begins again with a new gospel focus. This might be a moment to consider the journey you have been on with the Gospel of Luke this year. When Jesus is king, his power will not be based on privilege. In fact, it will be the inverse. When Jesus is king, everyone will have enough for their needs, everyone will have a voice, and everyone will know they are loved by God. We have an important part in making this happen. When we reach out to the people in our society in need of help, when we can make a stand for justice, when we care for the earth God has given us as our home, then we work with God to build her kingdom on earth. So when we acknowledge Jesus as our King, we need to recognize that we have a role alongside him. Jesus' kingdom is not one of status and privilege. It will be one where the least are the greatest. It is one where we must all share responsibility, for in God's kingdom, the weak can be strong, and we are empowered for service. The other major calendar event beginning just about now is the beginning of the 16 days of activism to end gender-based violence, starting on November 25th with the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women, and ending on December 10th with Human Rights Day. These days are supported by the UN, and there will be lectures and gatherings celebrating and working toward these noble goals. This Sunday is a tricky one. I'm not using my notes right now, which is tricky. We're all ready to sing Away in a Manger and Silent Night and O Come All Ye Faithful. And we're not there yet. We will be there next week. I don't know what the hymns are, but I think they'll be Christmassy. The gospel readings this morning are difficult. I blithely said, I'll be happy to preach on Christ the King Sunday. And then I read the gospel readings. And they're quite daunting, especially for a student. From this Sunday, we look forward to the season of Advent. We see Jesus not as the king coming to reign, but as the one who comes as a baby in a manger. Yet this is the same King who is King of Kings and asks of us our all. So let us remember now the baby born in Bethlehem, the one who calls us to follow, the one who testified to the truth, the one who died and rose again, the one who enables us to work with him to help build his kingdom here on earth. All these are the Jesus we worship. All of these are the one we serve. Humbly, we commit ourselves to this work, saying, "My God and my King." Looking to the reading from Jeremiah, Jeremiah was different from those who followed the prophetic tradition of time. He is presented not so much as an advisor to rulers about military matters, but rather as a prophetic guide for the people of God through the difficult period leading to the Babylonian exile and beyond. He is shown often to be in conflict with others. He defends his prophetic calling, including other prophets, as he warns about the changes which are coming. In particular, in the verses designated this morning, he points to an unknown branch of David, who will eventually resume the kingly line, although few details about this person are given in this reading. The hallmarks of this reign are clear: wisdom, justice, equality, and righteousness. This excerpt of Jeremiah also rebukes those who have abused roles of power while giving comfort to those who have suffered at their hands. The rebuke comes with the familiar imagery of the shepherd. We know that Christ, as the good shepherd, gives us the example of what it means to love and care and tend. We may also bring to mind, as we read these verses, Jesus' words to Peter as he welcomes him at the seashore, asking him to love, care, and feed his sheep. This passage is packed with metaphor and imagery ripe for exploration. In shepherding the people of the community, do we let them graze and then are shocked when they wander off or are driven off with a shepherd's hook? Do we see the role of shepherd as the one who leads the flock to fresh pasture, or the one who helps read the landscape as we move as a community to the next place? We need to go find sustenance and live well together. There are characteristics for the shepherd and the flock alike. We can recognize some as healthy, we're united, cared for, fed, and fruitful, and those that are unhealthy, or we're scattered, fearful, and dismayed. In verses 5 and 6, we are drawn to the character of Christ the King, the one who will save, the one who will rule with justice and righteousness, the one who gives us the best example of what our shepherding should produce in way of fruitful and faithful lives. Christ the King, or Reign of Christ Sunday, offers everyone the opportunity to find ways of acknowledging Christ's authority in all areas of life and living out the values of his kingdom in this world. This is often expressed through acts of service, compassion, and justice. Imagine if each one of us chose to buy a coffee or lunch for that unfortunate person we walk past each day, or knocked on a neighbor's door to ask how they're doing, called 311 to get help for a street person in distress, write to politicians and newspapers about social injustices we see in the world. If we each did one simple act of service one day a week for a month, how would this neighborhood, the downtown core, or the world be changed? How would we be changed? I think this month is a good time to try it out. Loving God, you have given us confidence to turn back to you as forgiven people through the life, teaching, death, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus. Like prodigal children that Jesus told of the prodigal son, we are ready to begin again. Like the loving parent, you are watching for us to return, ready to take us into your arms. In the stillness of your presence, May we know ourselves in new ways as loved and accepted and forgiven. Amen.
Thank you, Mariana. Friends, we stand and sing in response, standing in body or spirit. Lord, you give the Great Commission. And we're singing verses 1, 2, and 5. Verses 1, 2, and 5. And so as we return now to the world, we carry with us Christ's truth, cherish him as the highest power in our lives to share generous love with neighbors near and far. And so we go, blessing each other as we go, singing our sung blessing.